This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at worldsweeper.com, and I'm speaking with Roger Sutherland. Roger Sutherland is the president of Pacific Water Resources, an Oregon-based research and engineering company. The research part of it is that he has been involved with researching the pickup capabilities of sweepers for many years and is, in my opinion, the top U.S. expert on that topic. And today, Roger, first off, welcome to the interview with World Sweeper. Thanks for your time.
Well, thanks for calling, Ranger, and welcome.
I am excited about the test that you conducted for Elgin. There has not really been what I would call a credible test that's out there. There was one in California from the South Coast testing that everybody is familiar with, and pretty much every sweeper model of every manufacturer that has tested a sweeper has passed that now, so that doesn't have much validity, and we do not have pickup numbers from that test. It was only pass-fail. So let's talk about the test that you helped design for Elgin, and they hope, my guess is that you hope as well, that this will become a standard for testing sweepers in the United States. We have numbers for four of the Elgin sweepers running without water, the Crosswind NX high-performance regeneration sweeper, they call it. We have a standard Crosswind. We have a Whirlwind MV, which is a vacuum sweeper, and we have two tests on their mechanical waterless Eagle, which was run with and without water for dust suppression. So, Roger, I'll let you take it from there. Please give me a background on this, and we'll go from there, and then we'll get to the questions part.
All right. Well, thank you, Ranger. I think it's important for your listeners to understand that this really wasn't the first pickup performance test that I ever designed or implemented. I mean, I've been doing pickup performance testing for close to 20 years. It goes way back to original work I did in Reno, Nevada in the early 80s. And there was a number of pickup performance tests we did in Portland. And most recently, about 2004, I helped the city of Seattle try to assess pickup performance as one of the things that was important to them in the selection of a street cleaner that they were planning on, you know, renewing their fleet with. And just in 2006, we did some pickup performance tests for the Washington, D.C. Department of Public Works when they were trying to decide between two three-wheel mechanical machines. So there's been an evolution, in my mind as to how these things should occur. And the things that are very important is that the focus has to be real-world conditions. The focus has to be, what do we know about this, and how can we apply that knowledge to actually run a test that has measurable results that we can reproduce at other locations. And so the test was conducted outside, but it was also in a tented facility, a tent that had been constructed previously for some air quality testing, and it had a curb, so it was basically a parking lot with a rolled curb construct. And it's very important that we understand that, you know, street cleaners usually sweep curb streets, and rarely are they sweeping uncurbed streets, and I think that's appropriate. So the other things that are very important about a test is that the material we're using is very similar to the street dirt that we have been observing, measuring, and quantifying for well over 20 years now, and that the quantity of that material is realistic. It's realistic in that these are the types of pounds per curb mile that we observe throughout the country at multiple places over and over again. And then this material must be placed where it is generally found. In other words, some testing we had done previously, we spread it out across the street cleaner. That's not realistic. This material accumulates close to that curb or that obstruction. And so with all of these things considered, it's extremely important that we operate the machine at a reasonable speed, a speed that we could expect that machine to be operating out at day to day. And so we agreed on 5 miles per hour, and not only did we test at 5 miles, but we verified with two independent watches going at the same time that the machine was moving at 5 miles per hour. And that means the 50-foot of test track, Ranger, we swept it in 7 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there were a number of you know, test runs without loaded conditions, of course. The simulant's not down. But test runs to make sure that the operator knows what 5 miles hour is and can hit that number when everything's set, because these tests do take a certain amount of time. We have to put this material down, and then we have to carefully vacuum up whatever remains, and that becomes the mechanism of what's left. So we're talking about pickup performance as measured on the street in real-world conditions.
That sounds good. And I think so far all of those, of course, you and I have worked on, discussed this stuff for a long time. We worked together on the Washington, D.C. study, and I helped with some of that. And I was at the Seattle study that you talk about, so I'm quite familiar with your methodology. But I think it's important to bring that out to the listeners. Let's talk about the weight, the size distribution of the particles. At some point, you must have thought about, you know, what street dirt tends to be. How did that shake out?
Well, it's important that we understand that street dirt is basically silica. It's sand-like. There's organic component that's there. It's very light. It's relatively easy to remove by most cleaners. So the focus of this test was the dirt material or the, you know, the soil material, which has a specific gravity of around 2.6. So the evolution and the learning for me was, how do you design a mix of products that are readily available from any supplier, like Foundry Sands and Stilco Sills and all of these. U.S. Silica is one of the manufacturers, and they have very interesting products that are out there, various sands. So you're talking about sand down to material that's silt-like and then very, very fine. And it's important that this material is mixed before the test. I use, like a laboratory. I have a laboratory set up here at the office, and it has a cement mixer. And I mix up the material based on a recipe that we've used. And I believe that's the most exciting part for me in this test, is we hit the particle size distribution of what street dirt looks like pretty much on the head. And, you know, everyone talks about, well, we pick up the fine is a relative term. We're talking about a mix that's designed from about Zippo in terms of they're the smallest size, 1 micron, if you will, all the way to like 3,750 microns. Now, keep in mind, an eighth of an inch is about 2,000 microns. So we basically analyze the material in 8 different particle sizes, and these are very significant because these relate to some of the work that we've done, you know, in stormwater quality modeling and wash-off simulation. So that's really why it's important, is that we need to understand that a street cleaner has the capability of picking up lots of different types of material, but it is this solid material that has been determined over and over again as the primary source of contamination in urban stormwater of any other source that's out there.
Well, you're sure speaking to the choir on that one. As you know, I've long been an advocate of sweeping more to the fore as the first line of defense in the stormwater runoff stream. And to put a small plug in for that here, too, is that on two levels. One is that I think a lot of times when people talk about the efficiency, pickup efficiency of sweepers, which has been flawed for many years in any event since the NERP studies, the other side of that is that they don't even think about the gross material, the enormous amount of large-scale material that gets removed as well as the fines, and that allows the stormwater systems, catch basin filters, and those sorts of things to be fewer of them. They don't need to be changed out as often, and so forth. I'd also like to say something about your symptom software program. You're actually able with that software to go into a watershed for a municipality and model using rainfall data from however long back it goes, which is typically 50 years for most municipalities, and model what their predicted results from sweeping could be. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. In fact, we've done this for a number of communities, Livonia, Michigan, Jackson, Michigan. We've done similar exercises as part of our surface water management planning here in Oregon, Portland, Oregon metropolitan area, West Glen, Oregon, Gresham, Oregon, and then a number of efforts for the city of Portland over the years. And kind of interesting because they came to me early on and said, gosh, we don't think we should be giving so much money to the street cleaning program. This was in the late 70s, early 80s, and I did the work to be able to show them that that's probably because the machines of that time were not very effective at all. But now that technology has advanced, we have machines that are extremely effective. And I commend Elgin for spending the resources, for getting it, mm-hmm. for understanding that this is important, and not only recognizing that by their leadership, perhaps the rest of the industry will follow, and maybe we'll end up at some point in time of, like a consumer reports of this latest model of street cleaner. I mean, pickup performance is just one of the many things that a community is going to think about before, they select a street cleaner. But it's something that can be measured and can be quantified. So, yes, I believe that there's a great opportunity for communities to recognize that they're getting a lot of value from their cleaning practices and that they should be not just doing it because it makes sense and it's good for water quality, but they should be thinking about how can I demonstrate this to my regulating agency,
right,
for my MS4 permit? How can I demonstrate to them that we're achieving maximum extent practicable when it comes to reducing stormwater pollution? I think this is why the data that we're collecting, the tests that we did, and tests that we'd like to do for other manufacturers, obviously, is the basic information. I can't make that up. I have to measure that. Once I have that information, then I can take rainfall data and then characteristics of their physical layout, the routes that they're sweeping and everything else. I can go out and collect street dirt locally, very cheap, and analyze it so I know, this is what your street dirt looks like. And yes, we can get to these numbers, and quite frankly, we can just blow people away with how much we know and then how much we don't know about how effective their programs are.
Well, one of the things I'd like to bring out in this interview is the work that Gary Minton did extrapolating from Caltrans data. And by using an extrapolation of Caltrans data and sweeping industry data, he showed that it was about $35 a pound of pollutant, per pound of pollutant removed for an end of the pipe solution to be utilized. So that didn't include the real estate costs that if you had to go in and you know, get your land and so forth. But just the infrastructure part, you're looking at a cost of about $35 a pound to remove the pollutant portion. And his numbers showed that for an air sweeper, you would expect $3 to $5 per pound of pollutant removed, and between $5 and $10 per pound for a mechanical broom sweeper. So that's huge, and I think this is the first step of the sweeping industry. Somebody there, and I too commend Elgin for stepping up to the plate and saying, you know, we're comfortable with what our machinery will do. Let's let everybody else then come to the table and show what theirs can do. And you know, my expectation is there's going to be it's going to be close, but I think it's important to have those numbers because we can increase the number of sweepers sold, the amount of utilization by sweeping. My guess is two or three times more than it is today by having solid numbers that address stormwater removal.
Yes, and you know, I feel the same way, and I'm going to make a plug for something I wrote. I think you're aware of it. You might even ran a story on it, but I recently wrote a blog for Stormwater Magazine on their webpage, Stormwater H2O. These are the folks that put on the StormCon conference every single year for the last 5 or 6 years. It's pretty much the place where stormwater people are. That's where you need to be. And the title of that is Recent Street Sweeping Pilot Studies Are Flawed. I believe that, you know, there's a big disconnect between what we think we know about sweeping and what we don't know. And I am tired of it. I am tired of people saying that they believe they know how this works. And I welcome all discussion on this topic, but the tools that had been used to in these efforts, that, and they're really significant efforts, don't get me wrong, and they're excellent data, and kind of data that's very, very expensive to obtain. So why aren't we utilizing the best possible tools that are out there to try to understand what it is that we know and what it is we don't know? And so, you know, I basically agree that there is a tremendous opportunity to reduce the cost of removing pollution in stormwater, but many people aren't even thinking about it. It's not even on their radar scope because it's been pretty much dissed as a effective base best management practice for decades now, primarily because of the National Urban Runoff Program results, which, Ranger, is ancient history.
Absolutely ancient history.
So these are the things that, the reasons I'm motivated, the reasons I was very excited when, you know, I got the phone call. And it was very difficult for me to, you know, to keep a lid on this for as long as I had to. But I recognized that they told me immediately that I was in charge. And believe me, I was in charge. And I was able to say, this is how we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And I think, to be honest with you, that other street sweeping manufacturers have machines that are probably very capable and may, in fact, be able to reproduce these types of results. But at this point in time, it's like, okay, but, you know, let's get after it.
Well, that's it. Elgin certainly has attained the high ground by stepping out and stepping up to the plate and doing this, and I applaud them for not, rather than designing the test on their own, to have the test designed by you, because who more likely to do that?
They would definitely want it to be a reproducible test, and they basically, I guess, they've thrown down the gauntlet now.
Yeah.
Saying, okay, everyone got a nice-looking ad running in Stormwater Magazine about how effective their machines are in stormwater, you know, pollutant reduction for stormwater. Let's see the proof in the pudding.
Well, And I think we're ending the era where sweepers are sold by glossy brochures only, and that's very important. So one of the things that you and I have discussed for years is our belief that you would have a, if you could put some kind of a system to get the fines up when you're running, when you're doing your street sweeping without having a smear of water go down, in other words, without having dust suppression, water used for dust suppression, that you would actually have a higher level of removal on the small end particles, especially. And this test seems to have borne out that as well. Talk about that a minute.
Well, I think it's important to recognize that Elgin took a tremendous risk by even saying in the direction to me is that should be part of the ingredient. Keep in mind that many, most out there, when they operate a street sweeper, put water down. And this is just the way that we've been doing it. It's sort of like the way we've done it, the way we'll always. Unfortunately, all that does is wet the material so that it doesn't create a big dust cloud, but it doesn't do any good in terms of preparing the material for this machine to pick it up. And we wanted to demonstrate that, what is that? And can we quantify that? And so they took a machine that was designed to operate with or without water, that's their waterless Eagle, or excuse me, their Eagle, and it was easy for us to do it with or without water. But I have to tell you, when you're actually implementing this test, running with water is very difficult because you spend a lot of time waiting to get dry pavement conditions so that you can, you know, pick up the material following the test with the industrial vacuum cleaner.
Right.
And so it really increases the timeline. Thank goodness it was very, very warm that week. So.
Well, I think this is all quite exciting. I want to say on the just on the caution on the other side of things, and I know this isn't the kind of test that they wanted to design, but from my perspective as editor of World Sweeper, I would actually like to see a test that no sweeper could pass, is the quick terms of it. And I continue to make a plug for that in the long run, to take your test and expand upon it further where on the it would have enough large-scale material that an air sweeper could not pick up and do well on, because that's real world in in the world of millings and that kind of thing, and on the other end have lots of fines put in where a broom sweeper would not be able to do well at all, paint pigment or something that's clearly PM10 material. And plenty of it to see, so that people could make a more informed decision along the total pickup spectrum of a sweeper. For stormwater, though, I think what you have done is ideal. It's right what we needed as an industry, and the fact that Elgin has enough confidence in their equipment to step up to the plate and do this and put out numbers, and you know, which the numbers were going to come out when they did the test, and it turns out to be good numbers. So good for them, good for you, and I think ultimately very good for the power sweeping industry.
And let me say one final thing about that is I've long been a proponent of communities owning more than one different type of sweeper. And I think it's foolish. I understand the economy of scale. I understand, you know, the maintenance aspect and all of those things say, oh, we're just going to have one model and we're going to get so many of them and everyone will be knowing how to operate them and how to use them. But that demonstrates that we're not being realistic about the war that we're fighting. And that's the war against the pollutants that are out there. Because they come in all different sizes, all different varieties, and there's different times of year. A community will have different types of debris in which that debris needs to be effectively removed. And so I believe that exactly what you're saying is this is not the death toll for mechanical street cleaners, nor it is the call to everyone's got to get themselves, you know, a regenerative air machine. And but I believe that the communities that are really starting to understand this are going to say, listen, we need to have a machine like this and a machine like that. And maybe what I think the manufacturers might be hoping for is that they buy all of those machines from one single manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And but they do have a different type of machine for different types of loadings. And tests could be designed. I've always wanted to do a test, Ranger, as you know, where we throw in some organic material.
Right.
Or we skew it one way or the other. All of this stuff takes time and effort, but all of it can be done, and it's most important that it has to be done in a way that can be reproduced and can be measured, and that's really the challenge of real world street sweeping pickup performance, which I guess I've accepted as my role in life, I guess.
So
at least one of the things we do.
That's certainly one of the things you do well, and I know you're I have many other things you do as part of your engineering firm, but you are certainly the leader, as far as I'm concerned, in this industry, and I'm glad to see you take the lead role here. I would figure that the other manufacturers will be soon knocking on your door to reproduce this test, and I look forward to seeing what, now that we have a real set of numbers, that'll be a great thing to add. This is, again, Ranger Kidwell Ross. We've been speaking with Roger Sutherland, president of Pacific Water Resources based in Oregon, and we've been discussing the Elgin sweeper test that he did. He's an independent consultant, designed the test, and it marks a milestone in U.S. sweeping history. The test was conducted in July of 2008. Results were released in January of 2009. Thanks again, Roger.
Thank you.